Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Emily, for being with us. We really appreciate it. Happy Easter. My name's Neil. I'm one of the pastors here at Central Peninsula Church. You're at our Foster City campus. You're in a very special service this morning, worship together. If you're a child or a student in here, I want you to look to your parents or your adult or whatever relative you're here with and say, hey, thanks for coming to church with me today. And then if you're an adult, you have to say the same thing back to that person or to someone. Okay. My kids absolutely love to play dress up. They have this box in their closet that holds all their dress up stuff. And pretty much on Saturdays, it looks like it's thrown up. It's just everything has come out of it. It's on the floor. There's dresses, tiaras, swords, eye patches, bandanas, old Halloween costumes. There's just all this stuff in there. And they love to play dress up. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I could come home to the house and there's a fairy. One day I actually came home and Zarina was at my house. And there was also a mean panda. I think we actually have a picture of the mean panda. It's very dangerous. You better be careful. I've come home to find pirates running around the house. I also came home one day to there was a Dalmatian puppy dog in our kitchen. I was like, oh, so cute, a little Dalmatian puppy. But it's not always cute. There was actually one day I came home and there was a skeleton running around our house. And I was so scared, I almost ran outside and left because the skeleton was running around. Now, there's been better days. I've come home to Elsa and Anna being in our home, or Belle. I mean, just all different kinds of characters show up with these dress-up box, things that you may never know. How many of you like to play dress-up? I was just asking the parents. Parents, I want you to think about this. Adults, think about this question. Remember when you used to play dress up? Do you remember how fun it was? Do you remember that joy of doing that? The kids in here, they get that. They remember that. Some of them are like, I'm too cool for that. But inside, they're like, that was so fun. I love it. Now when you dress up, it's kind of like you're hidden, right? It's almost like you're somebody else. We're going to look at a story in the Bible this morning that's kind of like that. It's Jesus is hidden, but he's not dressing up. Now, as I was thinking about that and I was thinking about what he's done, I got to thinking, how often does this like our life, this story that we're going to look at? We feel like God is so far away. I don't know if any of you have ever felt like God is distant in your struggle and you have no clue where he is. But as we're going to see in this story, I want to remind you that no matter how bad things are in life, no matter how bad you feel like things are going, Jesus is always right there next to us. You may not always see him, but he's right there next to us. And I want to show you that from Luke chapter 24. So if you have your Bible this morning, open to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have it, the words that we're talking about will be on the screen. And while you're getting there, let me set up the story for you. Let me kind of prep to how we've gotten to this point. Jesus has gone to Jerusalem. He's been handed over to the religious rulers. He's been handed over to the Romans. And he's been crucified on the cross. Now, his disciples are heartbroken. And they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, kids, I want you to look to an adult next to you and say, Passover. Now say it again. Say, the Passover. Passover. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what the disciples were doing in Jerusalem. They were celebrating the Passover. And these two guys who we're going to see in this story, they're actually leaving Jerusalem and they're walking to a place called Emmaus. Everybody say Emmaus. Emmaus. Say it again. Say Emmaus. So they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile journey, which is probably going to take them about 2 hours. Now, you got to think about this. Like, if we were going to go 7 miles, would we walk? No. How many of you would way rather take like a plane or a helicopter? If you're going to shoot, you got to shoot big, right? You might as well just go for it. But see, some of you, you may even have driven 7 miles just to come here this morning. So they have a lot of time that they get to spend together. And while they're walking, kind of out of nowhere, a stranger comes and joins these disciples in their walk and in their conversation. Now, for kids, if this happened to you today, like your immediate thought, if you were walking and someone came and walked with you and started talking, you would be like, stranger danger! Because you might be scared. But what in this time period that we're looking at, it was totally normal. Because for someone to walk on the road and travel alone would mean that they could be open to harm, that someone could hurt them. So it was actually safer for them to walk in a group. And so this person who comes up and joins these disciples, his identity's hidden. But do you know who it is? It's Jesus. You're right. But the disciples, the guys in the story, they don't know that yet. Okay? Because God, the Bible tells us that God kept his identity hidden. He wasn't wearing a costume. He didn't have a dress-up costume on. But his identity was hidden. Let's pick up the story there as Jesus joins these two guys on the road to Emmaus. Look at what happens, starting in verse 17. He asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" That's kind of an interesting question, right? That he would walk up and he would ask them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" Right after Jesus asks that question, we're going to see this in a second. It's kind of interesting. These disciples who are walking, all of a sudden they stop. They quit walking. Maybe they look at the ground and kind of rub their toes in the dirt. They're confused. They're bewildered. They don't exactly know what's happened because they're on this journey. And look at what happens. Look how Cleopas answers. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" I love how Jesus responds. Look at this. "What things?" he asked. Now remember, Jesus' identity has been kept hidden from them. They don't know that it's Jesus, but Jesus knows it's them. And when Cleopas hears that question, I wonder what he starts thinking. I imagine at this point they begin walking to Emmaus. They had stopped for a minute as they engaged this stranger, but we know who it is. Who's the stranger? Jesus. Good job, you guys. And so they keep walking, but he asks him this question. What things he talks about? So as they keep going, Cleopas, he answers Jesus' question. He fills Jesus in on what these things are that had happened. He talks about how Jesus came to Jerusalem, how the religious leaders, they told lies about him, how he was arrested unfairly, and how bad things happened to him. And then he had to go to the cross where he died. I wonder at this point if his kind of voice broke in his sadness. Maybe even a tear forms in the corner of his eye. And then listen how the story goes on. In Luke 24, starting in verse 21. "But we had hoped that he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of an angel who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women said. But they did not see Jesus." Wow. He begins to tell Jesus how they were hoping that Jesus was going to save Israel, that things were going to be better. But in all of this, you just hear disappointment. It's like the sadness has built up in him. See, this is part of the discovery process. Cleopas needs to answer Jesus' question. He needs to answer his question so that he can hear himself say the answer. Jesus is really good about this all through Scripture, asking people questions. And have you ever realized, have you ever seen this in your life? That maybe you know the answer to something, but when you say it out loud, it helps you understand this. Now think about this real quick. God is like the perfect example of this. Think back to Adam and Eve, the book of Genesis. A lot of us are familiar with the story. Adam and Eve are living in this perfect garden alongside God. And one day they make a decision to disobey God. And then they go and hide from God. And God is walking through the garden and he says, Adam, where are you, buddy? And Adam's hiding in a bush. And he's like, I'm over here, God, I'm hiding from you. And God's like, Adam, why are you hiding from me? And Adam kind of jumps out, I imagine. He says, because I'm naked. It's weird. I imagine at this point, Adam begins to think to himself, why am I hiding from God? Why am I making this decision to hide from God? And when he says that he's hiding from him, he begins to realize the decision that he's making in life. Now, kids, let me talk to you about this real quick. I think you guys are really smart. I really do. But I think there are times that you don't like act super smart. So let me give you an example. You're doing your homework one day and you like shout out to an adult who's nearby. Maybe it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncle, older brother or sister, who's ever helping you at that time. And you say, I need help with this spelling word. How do you spell tiger? And the person goes, no, you tell me how to spell tiger. And they're like, well, it's T-I-G-E-R. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly how you spell it. See, you know how to spell it, but for some reason you ask the question, right? Now, this doesn't only happen with English, right? This happens with math also. You're doing your math homework, and you're like, oh, I need some help. And then a caring adult is like, well, what do you need help with? And you're like, well, what's 10 plus 10? And you already know the answer, right? What's 10 plus 10? 20. So why do you ask what the answer is if you already know it? Huh? Because sometimes we need to hear ourselves say it so that we understand it. What we learn from the disciples here is a very valuable lesson. And the first thing that we learn on this journey that we're on is, you guys, we're on a journey of self-discovery. This is a journey. And when Cleopas shares these things out loud, he realizes what he already knows. He realizes his sadness and his confusion. But he also begins to understand his misconceptions. Or he understands the things that he doesn't really know about Jesus. So they're walking down the road. These things are shared. These things go on. Cleopas gives this great answer to Jesus. But you see this sadness. It's almost like his love for God has grown cold. Now look what happens. Because Jesus isn't going to leave him there. It's his turn to speak. And in Luke 24, starting in verse 25, Jesus begins to talk. He said to them, how foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Now, let me kind of pause here. Does anyone think that Jesus' answer seems kind of harsh? Does it sound mean at all? I don't know. Look at it. When I first read it, I thought, wow, Jesus, that's kind of beating up on these guys, right? But if you look at it, he's not saying you don't believe. He's saying, why don't you believe what the prophets have spoken? And then he begins to share truth. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer? And he talks about how the Messiah had to suffer, and he wants to remind them that he had to suffer so that you and I could be saved. But the story doesn't end there in their walk, in their journey of discovery. Look what verse 27 says. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. Wow. Could you imagine what that would be like? That these guys walked on the road to Emmaus and they had Jesus explaining the scripture to them. How many of you guys wish that you could take a walk with Jesus and him talk with you? Wouldn't that be cool? Kids, it's okay for you to raise your hand too. It's not only adults can do this. Just kidding. But I want you to think about what that would look like. Now you got to remember this. When it says he opened the scripture, Jesus probably didn't have a Bible like we have to open up. He wouldn't have had the New Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written back then. It was only the Old Testament. And it was probably all done from memory. But I imagine as they were walking down the road, as dust kind of poofed away from their feet with every step they took, the words of Christ were like tender morsels to their hungry soul. They were starving for it. I imagine he started and he went back to Genesis and he talked about Abraham and how the Messiah would come from that seed, from God's chosen people. He probably got to the Psalms and he talked about how the Messiah would be mistreated, that he would be hurt, and that his body would be whipped. I wonder what it was like when Jesus got to the book of Isaiah and he talked about how the Savior would come from a virgin birth. Do you think the disciples were thinking, hey, you're right, that sounds familiar? I wonder what it was like when he got to Isaiah 53. I wonder if he took them there and he talked about how Jesus would be like a lamb led to the slaughter, that he would remain silent, that he would talk about how our sins were like scarlet, but he made us white as snow. I bet it was a phenomenal walk. I bet it was one of those things that even though the distance was 7 miles, it probably felt like it went just like that. This time that they spent with Jesus. And they begin to realize about Christ like they had never realized before. Has this ever happened in your life? Have you ever been at a place where you seemed hopeless? Where maybe you were living in despair? And then someone said, have you read this Bible verse? And maybe they thumbed there and they read it to you. Or maybe they said, gosh, I was just memorizing this verse. Let me speak it to you. And that scripture warmed your heart. Maybe you were sad and you knew the only way that you could find hope was to go to God's word. And so you sat on the floor, you got on your knees and you said, God, speak to me through your truth. There's something about Scripture, how it develops right thinking in us, how it creates a change in us. And while the disciples walked on that road, they felt the loving words of their risen Savior. See, the second thing that we learn on this discovery, on this journey that we're in life, is it's a discovery in the Scripture. See, we discover more about Jesus and God's Word through His Word and through His truth. So the disciples, they've just had this wonderful conversation with Jesus. They had this long walk. Remember, it seemed like it was 2 hours, but it went by like that. And the next thing they know, they're standing at the edge of their hometown. And they say, oh, this is our exit on the freeway. This is where we go. And Jesus, he does this kind of fun thing. I really like what he does here in Scripture. Let me read it to you so you can hear it, starting in verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. Now, do you remember earlier how I said, when Jesus joined them in their group, it was appropriate because if he was to walk on his own, he would be in danger. I think, and scholars agree with this, that Jesus was pretending that he was going to go further because he wanted to see if his disciples would really act with hospitality like he had taught them. And so when Jesus acts like he's going on, the disciples say, no, come with us. Come back to the house. Spend time with us. Don't go on. It's unsafe. Once they arrive at the house, when they get back there, we see something that I did not expect to see, starting in verse 30. And I'm actually going to read verse 31. It's not on the screen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. That's kind of interesting that they got to the house and Jesus took the bread and began to break it and serve them. Some of you are inviting people over this afternoon to have Easter dinner. Are you going to ask your guest to cut the ham? If you had guests over at Thanksgiving, would you invite the people in and say, you know, I got some stuff to do. Can you actually carve the turkey? I'll be right back. No, you wouldn't do that. Kids, if you're having friends over today, are you, when they enter the house, are you going to say, you know what, guys, my room's really dirty. Can you clean it real quick and then we can play? Some of you want to say that, but that would be inappropriate because we wouldn't be treating our guests like that. See, I think there's something that happened when they sat at that table and Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And their disciples' eyes were opened. Do you think that when he broke that bread, they thought a couple days earlier to Thursday when they sat in the upper room with him and he broke bread and they shared communion? Do you think they thought, I've seen bread broken that way before? I wonder if their memories trailed back to the time they were on the other side of the lake and Jesus fed the 5,000 people. Do you think they watched as he broke bread and they recognized it and they had seen that before? I don't know exactly what it was, but when Jesus broke bread, however it happened, whatever it was he said, their eyes were opened. God allowed them to see that it was Jesus, and then immediately he was gone. And after that, these guys look at each other and they ask this question in verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What a great question. I want to leave you with one thing to take from today's sermon. And it's this. The greatest discovery in life is to recognize the risen Christ. These men, they recognized the risen Christ. God had kept him hidden, but they recognized him. And so what do they do after that? Remember, it was unsafe to go on the road because it was getting dark. And they said, forget it. We got to head back to Jerusalem. We're making the 7-mile trek. We're going to go back. We have to find our friends and tell them. Right when they open the door to their friend's house in Jerusalem, they can't even get a word out. And their friends say, hey, guess what? We saw Jesus. And they're like, what? We did too. And they share these stories. And they know at this point that the greatest discovery in life is to recognize the risen Christ. Now, this whole time, Jesus wasn't playing dress up. God had kept their eyes hidden. But Jesus wanted to ask them questions so they could share what was in their heart and he could address the misconceptions. It provided Jesus an opportunity to share the scripture with them. Scriptures that make a cold heart warm. And then finally, they realized who the risen Christ is. I think there's an application for those of us in here this morning. And I'll go quickly because kids can get fidgety and I'm fidgety too. But here's what it is. Is if you've been a Christ follower for a long time, if your heart has grown cold, will you read the scripture? Will you grab God's word? And allow it to melt that heart and warm you with his love. And then secondly, if you're in here and you haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you haven't placed your trust in him with your whole heart, will you remember the greatest discovery is the risen Lord? Please don't leave here today without trusting Jesus with your whole heart. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to come and worship together. What a great opportunity to worship with our family and our friends and our children and our parents and relatives. And Jesus, I want to pray for people in here who have been following you for a long time, or maybe just a little time. Lord, I pray if their heart has gotten cold, that you would warm it with the truth of your scripture, that they would desire you, that they would spend time with you. Lord, I want to pray for those in here who maybe have yet placed their trust in you. Jesus, they haven't trusted you with their whole heart yet. And if that's you this morning, and you're ready to trust Jesus with your whole heart, I invite you to pray this prayer. I'm not asking you to pray it out loud. We're not trying to embarrass you. I want you to have a conversation between you and God. And I want to try to help guide that. Will you say something like this? God, I need you. God, I realize you've been next to me the whole time. I believe that your Son came to save me from my sin. I believe that Jesus was hung on a cross so that I could live. I believe he died. But after 3 days, he conquered death. This morning, Jesus, I trust you with my whole heart. I want to live for you. Now, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time ever, the first time ever, 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 and you're saying, I want to trust Jesus, can I ask you to raise your hand high? Awesome, I see you, I see you, I see you. Okay, I see you. Oh, wow, I see you guys. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Okay. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you that we can know you as our risen Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would have the excitement that these disciples had the day that they conversed with you on the road to Emmaus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.